Today's Shir's Masechet of Avakam Dav Chav Tes. We will begin by Ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Dav Chav Ches Amid Beis, 9 lines from the bottom. The Gemara begins by quoting what we learned in our Mishnah. We learned in our Mishnah that if somebody's barrel broke in the Shus Rabim and somebody else slipped and hurt themselves on that barrel, the Tanakhama holds that he's chayiv, he's responsible for the person who got hurt. And when we learned the Mishnah, we right away indicated that we would, in the Gemara, explain what this means. Ask the Mahechidav Miskavin exactly what is meant when it says Miskavin. Says the Gemara, Amarav Miskavin Larida Lamata Miksefai. The person who was carrying this pitcher of water intended to lower it off his shoulder, and in doing so, it fell and broke. And that's when Rabbi Yehuda will say that he's chayiv. Why? Because Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is niskal pesheya. The person, even though he didn't mean to do it, is held responsible for what he did. But in a case where he didn't, that wasn't the situation, rather that the barrel, the pitcher, fell off his back, there Rabbi Yehuda will disagree with the Tanakhama and hold that since this was an oinus, it was something that happened beyond his control, he will be potter. Amle Abaya, so says Abaya, if that's the way we're learning the Mishnah, so Rameya, who's the Tanakhama Mishnah, is obviously of the opinion that even if the barrel, the bitcher that he was carrying on his carrying just disintegrated, he will be chayiv. Amalei, to which Rabbi says to buy in, actually correct. Chayiv hay Rameya. Rameya will hold that this person carrying the pitcher will be held responsible. Afilo oznei biyadai. He's holding a pitcher, and just the pitcher just disintegrates in his hand, and he's left holding the handle, he will be chayiv. But ask the Gemara, how can we say this? Amai, isn't there a rule throughout Halacha that if somebody's an onus, that something happened beyond his control? Onus, Rachmana Patre, the person is not held responsible when it's beyond his control. As the Torah says, L'nar l'sasa dover. If a woman, if a girl was violated, it was beyond her control, she isn't held responsible. So, of course, the obvious question that Tosfos asks, that we just learned that the halacha is adam mu'ud la'olam, that a person is always held responsible for what he does, even if he's an oinus. So why over here is the Gemara using this concept of oinus rachmana patri? So again, Tosfos uses this Gemara to prove the point that he has taught us previously, that in a situation of an oinus gomer, where a person it's totally, totally beyond his control, that's just broken his hand, then Tosfos says we don't apply the concept of adam mu'ud la'olam. But we have quoted that the Ramban's opinion is that there is no exemption of oinus by a person, and we always say adam amis loylam, adam mu'ud loylam. So ask the Rishonim, isn't this a proof against the Ramban? So the Ravid answers that even the Ramban, who holds that adam mu'ud loylam, and we don't have an exemption of adam of oinus, that's only when the person did damage. But in the Gemara that we're discussing here, it wasn't that the person who did the damage. The damage was caused by the pitcher that this person owns. That, even the Ramban will agree, that even though the person was holding the pitcher, but it's the pitch that caused the damage, that we will have a concept of oinus. I saw that there are many beautiful pshatim in this statement of oinus rachmana patri. One pshat that I saw, oinus rachmana patri, only Rachmana, which actually, of course, means HaKadosh Baruch Hu, only HaKadosh Baruch Hu has the ability to make the determination if this is an oinus. Oinus Rachmana Patre, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one that can make the determination if it was an oinus. And if he knows it was an oinus, then Patre, the person who was the subject of the oinus, will be Potter. I saw another pshat that if a person has an oinus that prevents him from being able to do the mitzvah, but he's anxious to do the mitzvah. Oinus Rachmana Patre, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does the mitzvah on his behalf. Oinus, if you are an oinus preventing you from doing the mitzvah, Rachmana HaKadosh Baruch Hu does the mitzvah. Rachmana HaKadosh Baruch Hu does the mitzvah on your behalf. And I saw that that's pshat, the Mishnah, Masech the Rosh Hashanah, Daf Chav Tes Amud Aleph, that discusses if your Rosh Hashanah falls on Shabbos. We know that we don't blow the shofar. So why is it called Yontif Shal Rosh Hashanah Shechal Yis B'Shabbos? It should be Rosh Hashanah Shechal B'Shabbos. Rosh Hashanah falls on Shabbos, we don't have to blow the shofar. Why is it called Yontif Shal Rosh Hashanah Shechal Yis B'Shabbos? So the Sefer Kol Mevaser explains, it's a Yontif. It is a Yontif if Rosh Hashanah falls on Shabbos, because we don't have to blow the shofar. When we blow the shofar, there's always the concern, are we blowing the shofar properly? Did we do it the way we're supposed to do? If we're being yoitzer the mitzvah, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing the mitzvah on our behalf, then we could be confident that the mitzvah is being performed properly. And therefore, it's a yontif, says the Gemara. So, the chitema. So now the Gemara returns. If this picture just integrated by itself, why would the person be responsible? The chitema, and if we'll make an argument, when does the Torah say, Anas Rachmana Patre, when somebody got killed? We don't give chiv misa if somebody did it, but if it comes to damages, we'll make an argument that Yechayiv, even by its oinus, Vatanya, but ask the Gemara, the Braisa clearly doesn't teach us that way. The Braisa says, Nishbara Kadoi, if somebody's barrel broke, V'loi Silka, and he didn't clear the pieces away, not for Gemoloi, or his camel fell in the Rosh Hasharabim, V'loi Himidoi, and he didn't lift up the camel, Ramei Mechayiv, Bezekin, Ramei holds that person, the person who owns the pitcher, the person who owns the camel, responsible by Zaykin. The Chum say, Potter Medina Adam, he's Potter Medina Adam because we can't make a claim in Bezna for this. The Chai Medina Shemayim, he's held responsible because he should have gotten rid of the damage. But continues the Braisa, Omay the Chum L'Rameya, the Chum, however, do agree. If somebody left his stone or his package on his roof, and then a regular wind came and blew them away, that the halacha will be shul chayiv, that he will be held responsible. On the other hand, Rabbi agrees with Rabbanan, if somebody took up his pitchers that he just made out of clay and he takes them up to the roof in order that they should dry, and then they fell in a wind that could not be expected to come, and Viziku, and they did damage, Shupater, because since it was a Ruach Shena Mitsuya, that's why you're not going to be held responsible. So the Rajbah asks a question. Why does the Braisa change the example? First, when the Braisa says, when the Chama Moed to Ramei Ba'avna Sekina Masoi, and when Ramei is Moed to Rabbanon, he speaks about Kankanim. So he explains, Avna Sekina Masoi is something that people don't usually break when they fall. And therefore, people are not that careful. And therefore, the Braisa is telling us you need to be careful. But clay pitchers break easily. And therefore, people are more careful by Ruach Matsuya. And therefore, the Braisa says it's only by Ruach She'ena Matsuya that you're going to be potter. But if it's a Ruach Matsuya, you'll be chayiv. Moreover, the Braisa says that you are chayiv b'dine Shemayim. What does it mean that you're chayiv b'dine Shemayim? So there's two pshatim. One pshat is that if you want to do what's right, even though halachically you cannot be forced to pay, but the right thing to do is to pay for the damage that you did. But another pshat is b'dei Shemayim, you may truly believe that what you did was this was something beyond your control. But the only one that really knows who, if that is the case, is b'dei Shemayim. Chai b'dei Shemayim is HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows the truth. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows if you're innocent or guilty. And in fact, I saw that the Yerushalmi has a different approach. That the Yerushalmi's approach is that if you won't pay, so the person that you damaged can do nothing to you. But in Shemayim, they won't be moichel you until you pay up. And I saw other Rishonim say that if the person doesn't do what the right thing to do is, what as we've been explaining, that the right thing to do is pay for the damage that you've done, then Shemayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has his ways, and he'll pay you. And the way I always understand that to mean is that you're better off paying with money than not paying, and who knows what kind of punishment Shemayim they could give you. Moreover, I saw a very interesting Me'iri. The Me'iri says, in any case, which comes up often enough in our Masechta, where the Gemara says that you're not chai b'dinei Adam, but you're chai b'dinei Shemayim, the person, until he pays, is chayiv, says, is not kosher to be an aid. A person who has who knows and did damage, so even though technically the halacha can't force him to pay, but b'dei Shemayim, it's the right thing is that he should pay. And since he didn't do the right thing and pay for the damage that he caused, he will not be kosher to be an aid until that is resolved. But what do we learn from this braisa? That even the Chachamim agreed that if somebody leaves something b'pshia, that he's negligent, that he'll be chayiv. On the other hand, Rameyer will say that if it was a pure oinus, you will be potter. The only machloikis that we have is when somebody was walking and his parrot and his pitcher broke or his camel fell. Is he chayiv or not? So we can't say, as the Gemara, that the machloikis is about oinus. Because what we clearly learn from our Gemara is that everybody agrees that by oinus you're potter. Says the Gemara, the way to understand the machloikis of Rameya and Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah, Elam Rabbi Batati Pligi, they're arguing over two subjects. Pligi B'shas Nafila, one machloikis is that when it fell, of course, it doesn't mean when it fell, but as Tosfos explains, if it did damage immediately after it fell and you did not yet have the opportunity to pick it up, or Pligi, and it speaks about a case where you could have picked it up and you left it there. And the Gemara explains. Piligi b'shas nafila, the machloikis about if it did damage immediately is regarding niskal. If somebody was walking and he stumbled, is he considered pesheya? Is he considered pesheya by the fact that he didn't pay attention where he's walking or not? Marsover, Rabbi Meir's opinion is niskal pesheya. A person is held responsible for not being careful. And therefore, if his barrel broke, he wasn't careful to prevent it from breaking, and he will be held responsible. Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is that niska lapsheya, that he's not considered a pesheya for this happening. So, typically, we speak about a pesheya, in halacha, often, when we speak about a pesheya, we speak about shomrim, The halacha is, we know that a shomer has different halachas when a shomer is held responsible, when a shomer is not held responsible. And when we normally speak about pshia, we know it means that even a shomer chinam, whose level of liability is quite limited, is chayiv by pshia. But I saw an interesting machloikus rishonim, if the standard of pshia that we're applying in our Gemara for mazik, and the standard of pshia that we apply by shomer chinam, by shomerim, are they the same standard? The opinion of the Rashba is that it's not the same standard. The Mukhi Yosef actually learns that the word pshia is a consistent word, and since it's a consistent word, you have the same level of obligation in all cases. The Sefer Chashuki Chemer discusses a very interesting question. Somebody was walking down the steps in the building, and there was a banana peel there. He slipped on the banana peel, and he grabbed onto somebody else to break his fall. And that person that he grabbed onto was the one that got injured. What will be the halacha? Will he be chayif for the damage that he did to that person? So he says that the halacha is that you're not allowed to be matzal atzmai b'mamon chaveri. You're not allowed to use somebody else's assets to save yourself from damage. And in fact, he quotes the Shulchan Aruch that even in a case of pikuach nefesh, and I'm doing whatever I need to do because it's a situation of pikuach nefesh, still, if I damage somebody's property in the course of a situation of pikuach nefesh, I have to repay that person. So at first glance, if the person walking down the steps grabbed onto somebody else to break his fall, and that person got damaged, that person should pay for those damage. But he says that it may not be the case, because in any case that we say, even if we have a strict opinion regarding onus, even if we have the opinion that nisko pesheya, that somebody who stumbles is considered a pesheya, that's only in a case where he's not looking to save himself. Here, my goal was to save myself. And therefore, he says that this question will be directly related to the discussion that we're discussing in our Gemara, if you hold nisko pesheya, nisko la pesheya. He says, if you hold niskel pesheya, you'll be chayiv. If you hold niskel lav pesheya, then you will not be chayiv. He does want to include a consideration. Well, what is the place? Is it a place that you should assume that you can assume that this may happen? Then you have a higher level of liability versus a place where that's not to be expected. Continues the Gemara. Pligi, and they're also arguing in our Mishnah L'achim Afila, after this pitcher broke and fell, and you have the pieces on the floor, and the Machloika says, Ba'amafka Nazakov, if somebody was mafker something that causes damage in the Rosh Hashanah, is he held responsible or not? Marsov, Ramey's opinion is mafka nechasov. If you are mafka something that belongs to you, you're still chayiv in any damage that they're going to make. Marsov, Yehuda's opinion is that potter, if you were mafka it, you are potter. B'mai, says the Gemara, what makes us say that this is the way to understand the machlokes of Meir of Yehuda? Says the Gemara, midiktani, because we learn in our Mishnayis two cases. One case is huchlak echa b'mayim, when somebody slipped on the water, or shalaka b'charetzes, or he got hurt by one of the shards on the ground. And the question is, why do we need both of these examples? Hainu hacht, aren't they both the same? Elav, how must we explain? The Mishnah means to say, huchlak echa b'mayim, b'shas nefila, refers to the damage was done right after it fell. Oy shalakabel charsis is referring to a case of la'achan nefila after it fell, and that's why it's considered. And that's why it's considered both two distinct examples, says the Gemara. If Nader was saying that our Mishnah is arguing about two different situations, Brisa Nami Batarti, we'll often explain the case that the Brisa speaks about, Nishbar Kadoi, the Brisa that we quoted earlier in our shir, Nishbar Kadoi, Oynofel Gemaloi, are also going to be explained as we explain the Mishnah is talking about two different situations. So ask the Gemara, Bishlama, we could understand the case of the barrel, the pitcher that broke, either the person got hurt immediately after the pitcher fell and broke, or he got hurt afterwards. The way we're explaining the machlokes of Meir Rabbi Yehuda after the camel fell, can very well be understood. But the camel fell, and the person now was mafker that carcass was laying there. And that's going to be the machloikis, Ramei Rabbi Yehuda, as we just explained, if you were mafker it after it fell. But ask the Gemara, El B'shas Nefila, what would be the case of the camel that fell? Even if we'll say that the machloikis, as we just finished saying, is regarding the case of Niskel B'Sheya, a person should have been careful where he's walking. How do we apply that to the camel? Hech mishkachsla, Omer of Achga, ki going to over b'maya derech sarata din nahava. A person led his camel where in a place where the camel was covered by the water, and this person cannot see the camel. So Rameya holds that the owner, the person who brought the camel that way, is held responsible for carrying the camel through such a place that other people couldn't have seen it. But ask the Gemara, let's analyze this a little deeper. Hey Chidami, exactly what is the situation? If he could have taken the camel on a different route than Pesheyahu, then he should be considered a Pesheya for taking him in that way. And the Nemuke Yosef says that this concept, that if you could have taken your camel, you could have taken your animal another way, and you took your animal this way, you shall be held responsible, says the Nemuke Yosef, is only by an animal. But if it's not in the case of an animal, says the Nemuke Yosef, that will be the old machlokes of Niskel B'Sheya. But if there's no other way to transport your animal, onesu, you're an oinus. And we're learning now that even Ramey agrees that in a situation of an oinus, you're potter. The way we have to explain the brisa is the person was walking on the road with his camel behind him. The person wasn't paying attention, and that's why he tripped. And that's the subject of Machlokes or Meir of Chamim of Niskel P'Sheya. And the question is that since I'm walking and my camel is walking with me, then that's could be considered, if Rameya holds a Niskel P'Sheya, not only am I a Niskel on myself, but I'm a Niskel on my camel. So here the Gemara brought in a new concept. If there's another path. So Tysus makes the point, there's always another path. So Tysus says the definition of the Ikedaka Chwina is when there's another path that's equal to the first path. So I should have taken my animal on that path which could cause damage. But if the other path is much longer, much more complicated to go on, that isn't considered Ikedaka Chwina. So now that we have a Machlokes Rabbi Yehuda, if somebody was mafker these things after they left in Rishus Rabbah, what is the halacha? But we have to go back to the beginning of our shir. Rabbi Yehuda in identifying his opinion, said Miskaven Chayiv and Miskaven Potter. So ask the Gemara, how do we apply those words to what we're learning now about Mafkin Nechosov? Ask the Gemara, Mafkin Nezokim, my Miskaven Iker. Says the Gemara, Amr of Yosef, the word Miskaven here means Miskaven Liskus Bercherseha. If the person who dropped this pitcher wants to take ownership of these pieces that are left on the floor, and the Mekenam of Ashi, the definition of Miskaven means Liskus Bercherseha. Rabbi Elazar has, however, says the Gemara, a different way of understanding the Machloikus of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yehuda. The Shas Nafila Machloikus, the Machloikus is only when it did damage immediately, and the explanation of that Machloikus, as we keep on repeating, is regarding the subject of Niskel Pesheya. Aval Ach Nafila, what will be after these pieces fell, the Reako Potter. Everybody will agree that you Potter. Ask the Gemara, how could you say that everybody will agree that way? Vicar Meir, we just learned in the Brice that the Rameir's opinion is that you will be held responsible for the pieces you left there. Elamai, what are you going to say that Rabbi Loza's opinion is that Divrei Hakol Chayiv, that everybody will agree you're Chayiv for the pieces you left there? Says the Gemara, but we just learned in the Brisa that the Rabbanon disagree with their mayor, Iker Rabbanon, the Patri, that hold your potter. Elamai, B'shas Nefila, what Rabbi Loza meant to say was that the Machlaikis, when he said the Machlaikis is B'shas Nefila, he didn't mean to say that the Machloikis is strictly B'shas Nefila, but rather what he meant to say was the Machloikis is Af B'shas Nefila, or Kamashmon, and what he's taking us is like Abayis said, that the Machloikis is both B'shas Nefila and Lach Nefila. Rabbi Yochanan says, Lach Nefila. The Machloikis is strictly after the Nefila, the pieces that were, that's the subject of the Machloikis, is regarding the pieces that were left there. Av B'shas Nefila. But what about anything that was left there, anything that was there right at the moment of that they fell? My, what will be your opinion? Divrei Akel Potter. Everybody will agree that you'll say that Rabbi Yochanan holds everybody's Potter. Ask them, how can we suggest such a pshat? For how the come Rabbi Yochanan come on, loy tema masnisen Rameihi. Rabbi Yochanan says that don't explain that our Mishnah follows the opinion Rameya. Dominiskel Pesheya, that rather Rameya holds that Mechlal, Ramei Mechayev, that Rameya holds that you are Chayev. Elamai, you're going to say Divrei Akel Chayev, that B'shas Nefila, even the Rabbanon, even Rabbi Yehuda will hold you Chayev. But may they come around, ask the Gemara, based on what we just learned, that can't be pshat. Because as we just quoted Rabbi Yochanan, but may they come Rabbi Yochanan, come on. We just quoted Rabbi Yochanan, who's going to teach us in Daf Lamed Aleph, Loitem Masnisa Ramehi, Dama Miskel Pesheihu. Don't say that our Mishnah is following the opinion of Rameya, calls Niskel Pesheya. Bechlal, obviously, he's saying the Patri Rabbanon, and the Rabbanon hold that you don't say Niskel Pesheya. So we see that the Machloikis is even B'shas Nefila, the Machloikis that we've been identifying, of Niskel Pesheya, Niskel La Pesheya. So how can we say that Rabbi Yochanan holds that Machloikis is only La'ach Nefila? Says the Gemara al-Hokam Ashmon. What did Rabbi Yochanan want to teach us? The mafka nechos of the hok hu de patri rabbanon. This will be a case where rabbanon hold that if I drop something in Rosh Hashanah and it was mafka what fell in Rosh Hashanah, a potter. Why? Because they fell through an oinus. I didn't drop them. Ava mafka nechos of the alma. If somebody drops something intentionally in Rosh Hashanah and then leaves it there, then the halacha will be that Yechayiv, the Rabban will say Yechayiv. You can't just drop something in Rosh Rabim and be mafkarit and then say that I should not be held responsible. So says the Gemara, so the Gemara goes into the sugya of mafkin nechosov. So says the Gemara, itna mafkin nechosov, if somebody has something in Rosh Rabim and he's mafkarit, says the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar. We have a machlek, Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar. Chara mechayiv. One says you will be held responsible, and one says you're potter. So suggest the Gemara. lema, since we say that this machlokes of Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar is actually the machlokes of Rameya and the Rabbanan. Lema Manda Machayev holds like Rameya, Amanda Potter holds like the Rabbanan. Says the Gemara, I'll leave the Rameya kulam le pligi. Rameya, there's no question. He says, Rameya's opinion is very clear, Hamafkin is Zakov is Chayev. However, says the Gemara, keep pligi, leave the Rabbanan. Manda Potter, the one that says the Potter, very good. The Rabbanan hold, Hamafkin is Zakov is Potter. However, Manda Machayev, Amalach, Anod Amri Fila Rabbanan. My opinion can be consistent even with the Rabbanan. Why? Because at Kanli Patri Rabbanan, when did Rabbanan hold that your potter for Mafkin Nezakov, Ella B'Mafkin Nezakov Dahacha, the case that's similar to what we're learning? Mishum D'Anasu, what dropped was beyond my control. I didn't create this Hezek deliberately. Av Mafkin Nezakov D'Alma, where I created it deliberately, Rabbanan will not agree to the concept of Mafkin Nezakov. So the Gemara identified that we have here a machloikis of Rabbi Loza and Rabbi Yochanan, but we don't know about Mafkin Nezakov, but we don't know who holds what. Says the Gemara, this time I'll bring a raya. It's Rabbi Loza Udo Amachayev. Rabbi Loza is the one that holds that Mafkin Nezakov is Chayev. Dama Rabbi Loza Mashim Rabbi Shmuel. Shnei Dvarim Eina B'Shusha Shal Adam. There are two things that really don't belong to you. However, Asana Kosov Kilim B'Shusha, the Torah treats it like you are the owner of these objects. Ve'elhein, Bar B'Shusha Rabbim, that somebody has a Bar B'Shusha Rabbim, and Chometz Mishesh Shos L'Mala, Chometz on Erev Pesach after the sixth hour, that even though technically you can't own it, because the Torah says that it's not yours, the Aloch is the Torah makes it yours to be chayiv, but it's not really yours. So, example, Rashi says that if somebody digs a bar in the Shus Rabbim and it's full of water, it's only yours as far as being chayiv on it, but it's not yours. And if there's water in it, anybody has the right to take that bar. Moreover, the Chasam Sofer says regarding the chametz. The chametz, even if an akum will take that chametz on Pesach, it still will be yours as far as the halacha of asana kosov bereshusai. There's a question if somebody's mekadesh an isha with something which is asa b'hanoah, what is the halacha? So if it's considered, if the halacha is that you can be mekadesh an isha with something which is also b'ano, shouldn't this be a raya that, why does the Torah have to make a new rule? It's also b'ano. So the Tzai says, you can't compare this to something which is also b'ano. He says, Chometz b'Pesach is really not owned by me. The Torah says I'm not allowed to own it, so it's not owned by me. Asr hano is something that I own, but even though I own it, but there's a halacha that I'm not allowed to have hanor from it. And therefore, the two subjects are very not the same. Tastayim, so we clearly have a raya from here, says the Gemara, that it's Rabbi Elazar who holds that a mask in the Zokov chayiv. So I saw that the Achronim point out that sometimes when the Gemara makes this type of observation, the Gemara says the word Tastayim twice. However, when the Gemara doesn't use the word testayim twice, it doesn't mean that's final, which is going to be the case in our Gemara. So even though the Gemara says testayim, but since it's not final, it's not the way it is, the Gemara didn't use the word testayim twice. Indeed, ask the Gemara, Mi Amar Rabbi Elazar Hachi, is it indeed Rabbi Elazar's opinion that a mafkin nezakov is chayiv? Vamar Rabbi Elazar ipcha, we'll find Rabbi Elazar in a Mishnah that we're going to learn in our coming shir, says just the opposite. The Tanan, the Mishnah over there speaks about a hoifach as a glali. Somebody turns over waste that's found in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, the huzik ben acher, and now somebody gets damaged with it. Chayiv b'naskoi. The person, by picking up this galol becomes the owner of the galol, and he's chayif for any damage it will do. V'amar v'lozer, lo yishan in the sky and lifts behen. Only if he picked it up with the intention of taking ownership. Avlo in the sky and lifts behen. If you didn't take intention to take ownership, potter. Amo, mafkin the chasuf potter. If you don't have ownership, you're not chayif. Says the Gemara, Amar of Adar Barahava. Really, Rabbi Elazar could hold Mafkin Nezakev Chayiv. So why over there are you not Chayiv? Gzir l'makayma. I put it back to where I found it. And since I put it back to where I found it, it's as if I never did anything. So it's not the same as Mafkin Nezakev. Amar Vina. It says Rav Vina, Mashad Rav Adar Barahava l'ma'ad da'iva da'ima. La'maitzi bar magula v'chisol. If somebody found an open bar, and I did the right thing and I covered it, and then the chazvi galua, and then I opened it up, so I'm not going to be chayiv, because I only returned it back to its original state. If I only returned it back to its original state, I will not be held responsible. Amalei mazut b'rei demari larvina. Mi dummy, can we compare the two cases? Hasam, in a case where somebody dug a bar, and then I covered it, and then I uncovered it. I brought it back to where it was originally. Nothing really changed. It's as if I never covered it. However, hocha, in a case where I moved the glolim away, and then I bring them back, istal glumai serishin. What originally happened is gone. Halay dami, it ought to be compared. Ella, lamaitzi bar megula. If I find an open bar, and not just I covered it, the tamamai, I fill it up with earth, and then the chazer v'chafer, and then I dig it again. The stalkalim, would anybody say that the first person who dug it will be chayiv? By doing this, by filling up the bar, I stalkalim my serishin. What the original bar is gone. The kaimel b'rishusoy, and this new bar is my bar. And had Rebbe Elazar say that just because I return the galal to the original place, I will not be responsible. Says the Gemara, the case over there refers to a situation, I never picked it up more than three tefachim. Since I never picked it up more than three tefachim, it's still considered as if it was in the first place. Ask the Gemara, so now we're saying that what is pshat in Rebbe Elazar? Where I lifted it less than three tefachim. And why does the Mishnah say that if I intended to take ownership, then I'm held responsible? If I didn't intend to take ownership, I won't be held responsible. But if I didn't intend to take ownership, loy, I shall not be held responsible. Look, me one we explain the lal mishloisha that I picked it up for more than three tefachim, and once I picked it up more than three tefachim, then it becomes mine no matter what, and my intent is irrelevant. V'avkav deloy neskav meliskus bar chayiv. Amar Rava, what forces us to say this pshat in Rebbe Elazar is because masnis and kishisha. The wording of the Mishnah is difficult. My area hafach. Why did Mishnah speak about turning over the galal? Listening higbia. Why didn't just say he picked it up? El shma mina. Because the Mishnah wants to teach us that whenever the word hafach is used, the definition of hafach is lamata mishloisha. It means by definition less than three tefachim. Says the Gemara. Now that we understand that Rebbe Elazar's opinion is that mafka nezakev is chayiv. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, the Rabbi Yochanan, who we learned in the Braisa, is the one that disagrees with Rabbi Elazar, is obviously the man Dama that holds that Mafkin Nezakev is Potter. But ask the Gemara me, Amar Rabbi Yochanan Hachi, can we say that that is Rabbi Yochanan's opinion? That Mafkin Nezakev is Potter, but Tanan, we're going to learn in the Mishnah Daf Lamed, Hametznis Akaisvis is a Chuchis, if somebody puts thorns or glass, the Kena Goyd, the Gidra Bekoitzim, or somebody makes a fence out of thorns. The Goddish Nefelishus Rabbim, or somebody has a wall made out of stones that falls into Rishus Rabim, Vuzik Ben, and then somebody gets hurt with those thorns or stone, the person will Vuzik Ben Acher, the person who created this damage will be Chayiv Ben Niskay. He'll be Chayiv for the damage that was caused. Vam Rabbi Yochanan. And Rabbi Yochanan, in explaining that Mishnah, says, Lo Shanu, that the Mishnah said that Yechayiv El B'Mafriach, where you made the wall in a way that the thorns should stick into Rishus Rabbim. Avol B'Metzamtzim, if there's in your Rishus, Potter, then you will not be held responsible. So explains the Gemara. Metzamtzimai Tama Potter, why if you were careful that it should all be in your property, are you Potter? Lam Mishum Da'avolei Bar Rishusoi, that it's considered a bar in your property, and the halacha is that if you have a bar in your property, it's not considered the mazik bar. Mechlal, we learned the chiyuv of the bar, Rishus Rabim Hu, but in the Rishus Rabim, it would be considered a bar, even though Mafkin Nechasov, Zokov, nobody wants to own those thorns in the Rishus Rabim. But the Gemara is teaching us, the Rabbi Yochanan's opinion is, that even though you have no interest in owning the thorns in the Rishus Rabim, it's still considered that you're chayiv. And we don't say that you're part of a mafkin zokov. Says the Gemara, we don't have to explain Rabbi Yochanan that way. Loyalam emalach mafkin zokov potter, Rabbi Yochanan's opinion is potter. The reason you're potter is not because it's in your Rishus or not in your Rishus. A whole different explanation. People don't go that close to the wall that they should come in contact with the wall. So the person who walked so close to the wall, he was mazik himself by walking in that place, and that's why he's not chayiv. And not because ownership or not ownership. Ask the Gemara, is it Rabbi Yochanan's opinion that a mafkin zokov? But not a Gemara saying, but it could well be that Rabbi Yochanan holds a mafkin zokov is potter. Ask the Gemara from Rabbi Yochanan aloch stam mishnah, that whenever we have in Shas a stam mishnah, the aloch is like that stam mishnah. And the explanation is the Rebbe was the one that compiled the mishnayis, and when he saw halacha that there's no question that's the halacha, he just left it anonymous to teach us that that's the halacha. But tonight we're going to learn a mitzvah shema daf nun. Hachayif a bar b'shus rabim nafal toich a shor chamor omeis chayif. So we see that a bar b'shus rabim, which I'm mafker, I'm going to be chayif, says the Gemara. So and Rabbi Yochanan always follows the Stam Mishnah. So we see clearly that Rabbi Yochanan's opinion is that mafkin nezakov is chayif. Says the Gemara, you're right. Eloi lam Rabbi Yochanan amar mafkin nezakov is chayif. But ask the Gemara, if that's the case, the mid Rabbi Yochanan amar that chayiv, we're going to have to say that Rabbi Lazar, who's the one that argued Rabbi Yochanan, holds its potter. But ask the Gemara, from Rabbi Lazar, Mishum Rabbi Shmuel, we just finished saying that Rabbi Lazar said, Shnei Dvarim Einu Rishus Shishol Adam V'Asun HaKosav Kilim B'Rishusai, and one of the opinions, one of those cases was a bar b'shus rabim. So we see that a bar b'shus rabim, which I don't own, I'm still chayiv. It says Rabbi Lezer, you're still chayiv. Says the Gemara, loikasha. Hadaday, Rabbi Lezer's opinion is that mafkin nezaka b'shus rabim is potter. This statement that he said was the statement of his Rebbe, Rabbi Shmuel. But I saw that the Sefer Yad Malachi actually explains that Rabbi Shmuel was not Rabbi Lezer's Rebbe. In fact, Rabbi Lazar never even met Rabbi Shmuel. But since Rabbi Lazar was saying over a halach in the Beis Medrash in the name of Rabbi Shmuel, it's enough to be considered that if I say over a halacha for somebody in the Beis HaMedrash, the halacha is that I will be held chayiv. I will be, that person is considered my Rebbe.